When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to Speak Now Pro Wrestling. It is Wednesday, July 3rd. It's Denise Salcedo, and today I am joined by none other than Kate Hensler. Kate, thank you so much for filling in today. How are you?
Absolutely. I'm doing well. I can't promise I'll be as fun as Reg because I got to have him be a co-host of mine too. It's a really, really fun experience, but always happy to jump on to Speak Now and your YouTube channel. Happy to be streaming back with you, Miss Denise. Last time, I think we were talking about Dora the Explorer and all sorts of things.
What was the last show that we did? It was AEW too, right?
I think it was because we were talking about Wardlow a lot, which now feels like
oh my
100
God.
Years ago.
I remember we had a whole argument about Warlord.
Warlord.
I can't even speak anymore. Warlord, Warlow, whatever. They're all the same to me at this point. You know what it is? I've been going back and watching like old SummerSlam, so my brain, it's just messed up now. I'm going between the past and the present, and it's making me glitch and twitch and all of that. But Kate, we actually have a pretty damn interesting episode of Dynamite to get into here today. There's a lot that is shaping up heading into All In. We had a crazy, intense confrontation between Britt Baker and Mercedes Moné. We had the return of Hangman Adam Page, and then we closed out the show with MJF attacking Daniel Garcia and almost throwing down with a couple of fans. Overall, how did you feel about the show?
Tonight, to me, felt like AEW hit their sweet spot. Like, when they have advancement of stories kind of through matches with some nice angles here. Like, this to me felt like AEW kind of at its best for most of this episode, which made me really happy. And I think the biggest evidence of this, Denise, was like, I didn't hear a ton of CM Punk chants throughout this entire episode, and they were in Chicago.
That
was interesting, especially with Hangman coming back, that we didn't get overwrought with that tells me that this crowd was invested in these stories coming off a pretty successful Forbidden Door, I think, too. Like, this was really, really good. We've needed a supervillain back for sure. I think we got that tonight in MJF. A lot of comedic heels running around and a lot of really strong faces, but to have that guy that's in an AEW story that's not about AEW being a supervillain, I think tonight was a home run for them.
I love it. I love it. I think it's just like a good energy all around coming out of the show because there's multiple things to get into, multiple things to be excited about. So I want to go ahead and dive right in. I want to kick things off with Will Ospreay versus Daniel Garcia and how the show closed out because I thought that this was pretty interesting. So I think for the most part, we sort of anticipated now for a bit that we might end up getting MJF turning back as a heel because it kind of feels like since his return, Kate, some people were on board, some people were not. They were like, we kind of missed the old MJF. What is this new MJF? Because when he first came back, he had said that he was done with all of the kangaroo stuff. He was done with all of this version of MJF. But yet we kind of kept seeing a lot of the same traits that MJF was displaying before he was gone for a couple of months. And so today, after this match with Daniel Garcia, MJF turns on Daniel Garcia after acting like his buddy, hits him in the nuts, and then continues this attack on him that leaves him completely bloodied. He gets runned out of the ring by Will Ospreay, who finally makes his way out there. And on the way out, all of these fans are like getting in his face. He throws trash at some people. This was a great way to end the show. But how did you feel about the match and how they basically got into the official turn?
Man, I really, really liked this. Will Ospreay, just my goodness. Every outing for him feels like it should be a pay-per-view outings. And then you see the pay-per-view outings and you're like, I should be paying more for this. I feel like it's crazy how just incredibly successful his run has been so far. Super over babyface. So to turn Max heel in this program, I think was a really good call. Excellent showing for Garcia. He had so much of Will's arsenal scouted. I really, really liked how he had an answer for so much of what Will threw at him in the ring. And then for MJF, I was intrigued to see too, because, you know, him coming back after being away for 4 or 5 months, he wasn't going to go back to the Undisputed Kingdom because that angle is dead, which I think is a good call. But a character standpoint, yeah, that did not go as planned. But from a character standpoint, he should want that and he should want his title back. So for him not to be going after those things kind of left this opening of where does MJF go? But to me, MJF lost everything he had by trusting someone. So as soon as he was starting to trust somebody again, I was like, he's got to be turning on either Will or on Danny Garcia, because it just seemed too obvious to me. Not too obvious, because I think it was well done, but it seemed like inevitable that MJF was going to turn, because he lost everything when he finally did trust somebody. Now he's got to get back to his old ways if he wants to be successful again. I think we're setting up for MJF and Will Ospreay at Wembley. Marquee match that's going to be incredible. So really great way to close the show tonight. The angle was hot. The match was excellent. Danny Garcia and Will Ospreay both getting these monster cheers, I thought was a really healthy sign for Garcia and Will. Like this crowd was fine that this was face on face. We're rooting for both of them the whole time. Loved it.
So the match I thought was really good, and I liked how the way they wrapped things up with MJF trying to get Daniel Garcia to use the ring. And I think at that point you're like, okay, why would he use the ring when he's a babyface? So I feel like that was the first telltale sign that MJF was indeed going to turn heel that night. So the second that he rejected the ring and it ended up costing him the match, I was like, all right, we're in, baby. MJF's going to turn on him. But I will tell you, Kate, this was my big problem, all right? This was my big problem. My big problem with this, and I guess it's not too big, whatever. It's just a little minor thing that irks me, all right? Because sure, we all know when you're a babyface, it's hard to be a babyface, right? You got to be likable on all accounts. You got to get all the people to root for you. You really got to get the people behind you. And there are so many people behind Daniel Garcia. And I like Daniel Garcia, but I could not be sympathetic for him at the end of this, because when they did the whole bit where he's in the corner and he's crying and he's sobbing and Will Ospreay's trying to talk to him and make it all okay, I was like, I'm not gonna root for someone who cries after a match. This is wrestling. Cry it backstage, don't cry out here. So Kate, I'm sorry, I could not get behind Daniel Garcia in this moment, because I'm like, bro, what are you doing out there crying? Like, don't do that here. And I get it. We're trying, you know, it's a thing. I'm not trying to be like anti-emotions, but at the same time, I can't root for someone who's all sad and stuff, like the way that Daniel Garcia was after he lost this match. Like, you're a grown man. Come on now.
Toxic masculinity, Denise Salcedo. He said put his mother's life on the line for this, okay? Earlier in this episode.
But handle it in the back. And so that was my big thing. I was like, oh, no, I can't root for him now. That was my problem. I just didn't like the coddling, the treating him like a baby, because at the end of the day, this is like, you know, he's supposed to be tough and shit. Like, this is pro wrestling. Come on.
And he is like cool guy, so I definitely give you that. But I will say, like, he lost his match, he lost a friend, and what happened to Matt Menard all kind of happened at once. So I will give kind of like emotional gravity to that, like, it was a very blindsiding sequence of events for him. And he keeps going to the top of the mountain and losing. That was his C2 trajectory. He didn't win the TBS title the TNT title when he had a shot at that. And now he's losing again. I think we're seeing like this well emptying. And I agree with what you're saying, because he's like a little too cool to be crying out there. But
sad I am, I promise you, I will wait until afterwards in the privacy of my own privacy to break down and start crying.
After this review, I'm gonna screen capture and let you guys know if Denise is crying from all of my analysis.
Anti-tears. I'm sorry. It's just like, whatever. But I did like, I think the part that made up for it and did eventually end up garnering some sympathy for me was that MJF kept going with the attack.
Yes.
That's what I did like. So the moment, I also thought it was hilarious, and I love this, because usually when you have the celebration at the, or not the celebration, but when you have that moment where you're building towards the anticipation of MJF or whoever is going to turn on the other person, they usually tend to prolong it. And this time, MJF just went right in there and kicked him in the balls and moved forward with this attack. And I think him just like continuing the attack as long as he did, I thought that kind of made up for it and made me go, oh, you know what? That's pretty messed up.
I do appreciate that this was a hard heel turn and one foul swoop. Like, I think that was really well executed by MJF. I thought his behavior ringside was really good too. Like, when Danny Garcia rejected the ring, he didn't belabor it because he knew Daniel Garcia was going to reject the ring and he knew Danny was going to lose this match. So, and if he did it, he was going to ride his coattails. So I loved the way he walked the line and his very natural reactions to, okay, you don't want to use the ring? I'm not going to push it on you kind of thing. Like, really, really well done, I felt like, by MJF in that. And you're right, this was a heel turn that was more than a low blow. This got really violent really quick. Will Ospreay coming down after, I feel like, is a nice way that these seeds have kind of been getting sown. This has been a very busy window for AEW, Forbidden Door, the Owen, and this. That's a lot going on and a lot of stories to be telling at once. So the way they've woven this together, I think, has been pretty aces.
Did you notice Matt Menard's blood by any chance?
It was as if somebody bludgeoned him in the head. It was right. A little extreme.
What happened there?
I don't know.
It looked like his eyeballs had been ripped out of his sockets with all of the blood in his face. I thought they needed to kind of work on that. I thought it was a little too much for me to buy it.
It was like a horror villain attacked him or something, not MJF. Yeah, it was very Ric Flair Crimson Mask levels of blood there, but
I was going to screenshot it and post it, like make a little joke, but then I thought, damn, Twitter's going to flag me and cause like a trigger warning with all of this like blood on Matt Menard's face. So I decided not to post it because I'm like, I don't want to get in trouble for not posting like a trigger warning, even though it's, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, they're going to say, this is real blood. This is a very sensitive thing. This is actual violence.
You're posting violence on this app and we're going to get rid of you.
Right. All right. Kayfabe is real to Twitter security, right?
Yeah.
Like they're in on this.
Kay, I worry about that all the time because when they did the blood spot where the blood fell on Malakai Black the last time, Instagram flagged me. They flagged that content and I had to write in the little message I wrote, this is pro wrestling.
It's also a crusher of strawberry jam from the ceiling. Like, of all the ones.
Right? You know what may piss me off about this is that Instagram made me break kayfabe on Instagram just so that I could keep the video up and going on Instagram. They made me break kayfabe.
That's so wrong of them. The business is real, man. It's real to us, damn it, Instagram.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, let's get into some of these super chats and see what the people are saying. This is from Roberto Arsenal, who says, I'm lucky enough to have the money to buy myself a plane ticket to Japan. I'm going to see Wrestle Kingdom and Dynasty. Also see some TJPW days before. That is awesome, man. I hope to be there as well. We'll see. I still got 6 months at least to plan. Crazy 101 says they better keep Acclaimed old ass gun out of Blood and Guts. So I've been seeing a lot of this, Kate, all over my social media timeline. It was people do not apparently want to see the Acclaimed. It's not that I don't know if they don't want to see the Acclaimed in Blood and Guts or if they don't want to see specifically Billy Gunn in the Blood and Guts.
I feel like we've hit a bit of a wall with the Acclaimed. I think it's gotten way too one note of Bowens is the ring guy. Max Caster does very questionable raps for a babyface that to me are not very good. Mic drop and Billy Gunn does his famouser and we go home. That was my problem kind of with the trios run from them too, was just, it was the same thing every time and it made the defenses kind of forgettable. And I don't think we've gotten really too far away from that. Billy Gunn cannot be in Blood and Guts. I'm sure that we are going to see somebody else come into play on that. That is too much of that side being held down by a trio in general. And I don't know. I think if you got Hangman on one side rejecting the bad guys, but probably working his way back over there, who's going to be on the other side? Who's going to be more of an OG on the AEW side than maybe your world champion if they're willing to risk that with Swerve? I think that could shape up really nicely. And I feel like Billy Gunn, anybody like 50 and up, probably not ripe for maybe not ripe for a blood and guts match. So I'm sure we'll see some sort of angle. Maybe the EVPs take him out in a ridiculous way. I think that could be very, very fun, honestly, if they do that.
Right. I hope so, because I do kind of agree with you. Because here's the thing. Acclaimed, Max Caster and Anthony Bowens, I'm pretty much predicting that they're going to be in this blood and guts, because they're the ones in the storyline. They're the ones in the feud. So it kind of calls for them to be part of this. And I'm just going to say it right now. I think where things started to go down south for the Acclaimed was the second that they lost the freaking tag titles. I will never forget it. To the Guns. That was a bad idea. And then they got stuck in this terrible storyline for the longest time with the Bang Bang Gang Gang, whatever the hell we were calling that club. That went south. So that kind of put a little bit of a stench on them that they now have to take off. And I'm sorry, but Billy Gunn made my list after that match with Jay White. After that, I was like, I do not want to see Billy Gunn in these scenarios anymore. No. So unfortunately, after that match, I was like, thank you. Next. We got Robert Arsenal here who says, Britt Baker was very much missed. Glad she's healthy again. I think it's Chris cost Willow her match, allowing Mariah to win the Owen Cup. I'm with you on that one, and we'll circle back to that in just a second. Amir F says, MJF versus Ospreay all in. MJF versus Daniel Garcia all out. I like that direction. That's actually really great, Amir F. I'm here for that.
We got that idea too.
We got Doppelganger 399 who says, finally, the real MJF is back. Kate, how much do you think this was needed to have this version of MJF here on Dynamite or on AEW?
I think it's a much needed filling of a void that is on Dynamite right now. Like, I really like the umbrella story that we have that is for the soul of AEW here. But you need a guy that's in a story properly that is just an absolute piece of S. I'm not going to swear on your channel because you are a lady, but I do think...
I swear all the time.
I know you do. He's a piece of shit. MJF's a piece of shit. We needed this. We needed this piece of shit. He's not a scumbag. He's just a scumbag, and I don't even like this guy anymore, but you need this kind of tenacity from this kind of guy. He's a different heel than everybody else right now. The EVPs and all of that and Okada... great stuff, but comedic. The Learning Tree stuff, very satirical. You need this kind of supervillain on your roster, and you need someone that's in a storyline that isn't about AEW. Like, I maintain that. I really like what's going on with that. But you also just need kind of those more traditional stories and those one-on-one situations, and MJF is the guy to be facing your other top babyface who isn't Swerve right now. It's very, very necessary to have him back. Getting him and Hangman back in these forms in the same night, much needed.
Roberta Arsenal says, love that there's four matches built in for All In already, and their biggest ones at that too. We got John Taylor here who says, Denise and Kate, let's effing go. Alejandro Reyes says, MJF gave Danny the Hawk to a before his beat. You know the part where Daniel Garcia during the match with Will Ospreay was doing like the, you know,
his, yeah.
Yeah, the thing right on his face. I was going to screenshot it and post a joke on Twitter, but then I was like, nah, I don't want to post it. I ran out of time. But I was going to post a joke and be like, damn, Will Ospreay, you had to hot Tua and spit on that thing. I'm dead. But then I thought, well, who knows what that's going to be like. But Taylor Cannon here says, hey, Denise, great to see Kate as well. Great show. Thank you so much, Taylor, for being a member. A DWO member for 16 months now. Love it.
He's the best. Taylor's the best.
We got Matt Logan who says, Kate is Denise's free agent.
Never know where I'm going to show up.
You know? That's true. That's definitely true. Mike T90K says, best Dynamite in a long time. There's been some good Dynamites this year, and it's crazy to think that 6 months have already gone pretty much by this year, but I feel like this is definitely top 10 for 2024.
Yeah, this was from front to back, like the most in their bag. They've been in a long time. And I think we've got Blood and Guts coming up. We've got Beach Break and all these things happening all this month. Like there's so much going on. I'm hoping that this momentum continues. this, I felt like pretty much everything hit tonight. Really, really good. And bookended with two incredible matches from an in-ring standpoint.
Alexander Fitzgerald says, I love how they set up Mercedes to get heel heat from her and the EVPs talking to the ring being changed with the balloons for Mercedes' celebration. That was a great promo with Britt and Mercedes. So let's go ahead and get into that because this is honestly probably my favorite thing that happened on the show. The confrontation between Britt Baker and Mercedes Moné that led to Britt Baker essentially challenging her to a match at All In. Now, it hasn't been made official just yet, but I think we all know it's going to be made official at some point. And the big thing that to take away from this, first of all, the Britt promo, she basically talked about the reason why she was gone because there really wasn't ever real any clarity as to what was really going on with Britt Baker. Everybody was like, okay, she's injured, but there's so many specifics that we did not know. And I won't get into the medical details that she shared. You guys can watch the promo for that portion. But she basically said that she suffered what doctors were calling a mini stroke. And that is serious because Britt Baker's a young girl. She's, you know, she to having be dealt with something like that where she was talking about having bad vision. She was talking about, I think she said her right arm was in pain. Or I think her left arm or her right arm, one of her arms was in pain. And that's very serious, Kate. Like, let's kind of focus really quickly on that portion of it because I don't want to gloss over that because that is a serious topic.
Yes, that's a very, very serious thing to undergo, and she's very young to have it happen. AEW was very careful in their wording whenever she was asked about, I felt, by saying that she wasn't medically cleared. I don't think they even ever said outright injured, but medically cleared to me sometimes says that maybe there's something else going on that rather than like a torn ACL or a broken arm, and that was certainly the case here. That's an incredibly serious thing. It takes a ton of work to come back from if your symptoms are severe enough. And Britt's a tough SOB, man. She's been through a lot. So very happy that she was able to fully recover. Promos like this and whenever wrestlers share what they've been through medically are just such a reminder to me of like the amount of stress that a wrestler's body undergoes, whether it's like, well, tore my ACL, I'm out for however many months, or things like this, or heart conditions or whatever. Like, there are so many physical, mental, and emotional stresses on wrestlers that we don't always consider. We just wonder where the heck they are when they aren't on our television. So very happy she was able to make a full recovery. I thought she looked great too, just like her conditioning in general. She looks wonderful. And I thought the return promo was really effective in the vulnerable like sharing that she did with us about the medical condition, that of course the shit talking we got into with Mercedes. But you're right, this was something that was an extremely serious and unorthodox thing as far as like the wrestling spectrum goes, for sure.
Right. So it's one of those things where instantly you hear a story like this and you're like, okay, well, one, I hate to say that she's a babyface because of it, because it was like a real thing that happened to her. But it is, right. And that's how the promo came across, where it's like, okay, like you can't go out, because previously Britt Baker was a heel in AEW. And so you don't want to necessarily just go out there and boo her. That's not gonna happen. Sure. So, you know, we basically set the tone, and we also found out why she was gone. And I think that that was important because she had to connect with the crowd on a serious level. And I think she did just that. But here's the thing. So Mercedes Moné interrupts her promo. She comes out all fancy in her fancy car. She gets greeted by the EVP. She's getting the full VIP treatment. And all of a sudden, it's like if Britt wasn't even there, because they just brought out all of her decor and started putting it in the ring for her celebration. And then what we got here, guys, is exactly what I wanted out of this whole feud, Kate. This is what I needed. I had said this last week with Reg, where I had said the reason why I'm interested in this is because I want to see how they're going to interact with each other, because they are both big stars. In terms of Mercedes, has done it all. She was in WWE. She's as big as they get for the women. And Britt is also a big star, but within the AEW universe. And so I want to see those things, those two people clash here. And so anyways, the promo that we got here, I kind of thought that Britt won this. I mean, she basically told her, I want you at All In. And I wrestled at the first All In and at the last All In when you were a broken bitch, basically watching.
Not a bitch in this. They're learning from Okada.
Yes.
Bitch lines are getting over.
I think I heard bitch in this segment more than I have my entire life. But anyways, like, she gets in her face. And at this point, you can really feel the intensity between both of them. And the one thing that I don't know how you felt about this, I'm going to get your thoughts also, because she had said, Mercedes told Britt, oh, get in line. And Britt said, what line? I kind of thought that one was sort of undermining her as a champion, because technically, or not undermining her as a champion, but undermining the entire women's roster just a tad bit, because technically all the women should be in this line to try to get their hands on the AEW Women's Championship. So that was the only part I didn't like about it. But to be honest, it didn't really matter because everything else was so good. And the moment that Mercedes kind of did like the talk to the hand thing to her, so disrespectful. I loved it. How'd you feel about this?
I loved pretty much everything we got out of this. I loved the invite of shit talking that Britt did, of saying, calling out like the piped in CEO chants into her theme, and like all those little jabs of like manipulating your fan base and all these little things. And then it was like, that wasn't even the reason that Mercedes came down. She came down for her own championship celebration. I loved the interaction with the Bucks, because I feel like so many people have been saying, you got the VPs and you got the CEO and they're all have gold. Like, they got to connect, right? So really liked that they did that. I thought it was a nice fluidity to transition to the ring with her celebration. And then the actual fire that was back and forth, you could just tell, man, Mercedes, lovely as a face, she's meant to be a heel. And she, even at Forbidden Door, like when she was getting booed there, and it was very playful, it was mostly about the Celtics. I can't convey that enough, that the energy in the room while booing Mercedes was like basically a referendum on Boston sports in the New York area. but you could just tell she was like loving it in those moments. And then to see her come out and kind of lean into that more in this, knowing that Britt was going to be super over, she just belongs as kind of like that cocky heel side of things. I think this is going to be so much fun. I don't think Mercedes needs to be a full heel either. Just leaning that way is good enough for me with this, but
I think she should be a full heel, Kate. Full on, like, just go with it, because the boos that she got today, like the way that people were just wanting to, I mean, they were telling her to shut the F up during her promo. So lean in all the way now. Like, you got to go for it, especially when you have the character of a CEO. Let's be real. True. We all hate corporate America. We all hate our CEOs and our bosses and all of that. So it's a very easy person and a very easy character to want to boo.
Agreed there. And I think this could be the feud that gets her there. I just don't think we need her. I don't think we need like a moment like we got with MJF tonight. Like, I think this might have been, maybe that is that moment, was just like more shit talking. But I think what I mean more is that like she can just tweak where she's at. She doesn't need to make a ton of adjustments from a character standpoint. So it's not anything that's gonna need any extra gasoline thrown on the fire. Like, I think this will just kind of take her there and float her there a little bit easier. But this was really, really fun. I loved that they were both kind of right. Like, I love promos where you can see both sides of things. And this women's division, from where it was to now, I mean, the reactions that this crowd was giving both of these women is something that we were pulling teeth to get like a year ago. So just really, really cool. This feels like a marquee event for All In. Like, this feels, I don't think it'll co-main event, but you certainly could make the argument that it should. Like, this feels like a very, very, very big deal. So I love it. Makes me very happy to see it. I thought both of them did really well with this.
I think one of the things that you hit on too is that the women's division, I don't want to say they needed this, but damn, this feud is going to help accelerate the women's division in terms of like drawing more interest, because right now there's a lot of good stories to tell and a lot of stories that are good that we just came off of, because Mercedes's first program was with Willow Nightingale. And that, if you recall, got the biggest reaction at the pay-per-view when they wrestled each other. And to see that in comparison to everything else, like, I thought they even got like they just had such a big reaction, like even outshining the main event in terms of how people were reacting to Willow and to Mercedes. So you're coming off of that hot feud for Mercedes. But on top of that, you still have the stuff with Toni Storm, with Mariah May. So right now they're in a situation where there is more than one thing that's interesting in the women's division. And we weren't, like you said, pulling teeth before, where we weren't always getting this type of scenario for the women's division. But right now it feels good. It feels like we're telling a bunch of stories. People are getting over, and Mercedes is doing what she needs to do.
100% with you on that. And we have these peripheral stories to the title too, which we were definitely not getting. We've got the Owen, we've got Serena Deeb doing her stuff. We've got Deonna and Thunder Rosa, who can't get enough of hating each other. And I can't get enough of them hating each other either. So very, very refreshing in that regard. Very, very happy to see where this division is cooking right now, because they are.
We got Luke Thornton here who says, sad Hangman makes me sad. It took me a second. I was like, why does Hangman make you sad? Sad Hangman makes him sad. I think he's more like angry Hangman. We'll get to that in a minute.
Dark Hangman. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. We got Crazy 101 who says, MJF face to face with a fan was good stuff. Dude, I was so ready. I was like, throw down. I know that's not going to happen, but sometimes, okay, I love the chaos in pro wrestling. Like, I love that stuff. You know, I'm so tired of, how do I say this? I think sometimes we're always following the rules and being picture perfect, and we're all on our best behavior all the time. I like to see the rowdiness. I love to see people get fired up. And as long as you're not crossing any real lines, and if you're getting, like, you know, in someone's face where it, like, calls for the moment, it's all right. You know, it adds to it.
We watch a lot of wrestling. And so when you have stuff that feels like it's evoking, like, real reactions and emotions, like MJF did tonight, feels really good, because it, like, breaks up a lot of, like, that was a really great match and I see where this is going and whatever, when you're just sitting there and you're like, that guy's gonna fight a fan. That stuff rules. I'm with you.
When he started dumping the trash can, I was like, oh, someone's gonna get pissed. Because here's the thing, like, I've seen so many, well, not recently, but I think there's been at least two or three times, and I posted the videos on Twitter, where there was people that were getting in fights at AEW. So, you know, it does happen. It does happen. I've been in those crowds. We got Magnum Waite here who says, Monet shoving Britt's face was the best promo work she's done in a while. Glad for the MJF turn. Danielson versus Pac was great. Shocker, Double J defies age. That's the thing I do want to mention. I think a lot of the criticism that Mercedes Monet has gotten in terms of her promos is that she still isn't necessarily talking like she's not talking like Mercedes Monet. She's talking like Mercedes Monet, the character. And today was one of the first times, aside from a couple of promos that she had with Willow, where I really kind of felt like it blended in a lot nicer with her and Britt, where they didn't feel like they were on two different universes.
I agree with that. And if you remember when CM Punk kind of first came over, there was definitely still like that WWE cadence and that WWE kind of method that he had to shake off. And when he did, he got into like some really, really incredible stuff. I think we kind of saw Mercedes break out of that tonight, because she was at that company for a very, very long time. Yes, she did some stuff with New Japan, but like, short window, and promos were not the bag for that particular run that she was on. So tonight, hearing her just sound a little bit more like a human being was good. And also, I can't stress this enough, she just belongs as a heel. Like, yes. She's more comfortable that way. She's an Eddie Guerrero stan. She's told us that so many times. Like, she does great as a face. She's meant to be a heel. And when you're doing the creative that you're settled into, I think we saw it at a Max tonight too. When you're clicked in with kind of your strengths, there's nothing better in wrestling. And I think just that extra comfort level of her knowing she was supposed to be getting booze out there, she knocked it out of the park tonight.
We got Tim McFowl here who says, the two hardest working ladies in the biz. Aww. Show is amazing. Open with a banger, return of Britt, heel Mercedes, crazy angry solo Hangman, great closing match and angle, MFing heel MJF. I'm all in. Tim, thank you so much for the great description and the compliment. We appreciate you, man. Alejandro Cordero here who says, after last week, the correct decision was to replace Reggie with a white woman. Thank you, Denise. That's karma. Oh, shit. All right. Okay, I need to fill you in on this.
I think I saw, but recap for me in full, because I saw clips.
I had said I felt bad for Toni Storm because I knew that I feel bad for Toni Storm every time she's left out between her and with Mina and with Mariah May. And then Reg was all like, why are you always feeling bad for these white women? This and that, right? And so it went on a whole rant about white women and blah, 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 blah. So yes, this is karma for Reg.
Listen, we are basic, but we are here and we are valid, okay? Did I have Starbucks earlier today? Yes. Did I get a mocha frappuccino bullshit? Whatever. Of course I did. But the point is, we deserve the same love and attention too.
I mean, it's funny too, because afterwards I had some good burns for Reg, but I didn't think about them until afterwards. So I'm going to have to save them for next week.
Always
watch
after.
Next week, guys. I got always some tricks up my sleeve. Right. Because I was like, I should have said this on the podcast. I should have said that. And I didn't think about it until after.
I'm the queen of like 2 a.m. with a notepad kind of thing. I'm just like, yep, should have remembered that for earlier in the day.
Seriously. We got crazy 101 here who says Mercedes MJF are heels now. AEW heels are stacked. Yeah, I like that. We got Leonard Aarons III who says Max kept the ring on all night. He told us what he was back on from day one. He was honest about his dishonesty. We kept cheering him anyway. That's kind of true too, but I think we really needed the moment for him to show that he wasn't Mr. Happy-Go-Lucky anymore. We got Mike Parker, PWMM here, who says, I said a while back, MJF will go back heel because he always said the biggest trick the devil ever pulled was making you forget he exists. Yeah, man. And we were thinking about this too, this line too, when he was, you know, back to when he was feuding with Adam Cole. I feel like that was such a good line that now it's just stuck to everything that MJF does is you don't trust him. And forever moving forward, you're never going to trust MJF.
No, you shouldn't. And I think it's so important that he doesn't trust anybody either. Because when he did, he lost his title. He lost his friendship. Like he lost his health. Like the second that he finally trusted and made a friend, all of that went away. And so this should be kind of his revenge tour in that regard, in my opinion, as a character.
We got Mike T90K who says, I cried when Danny Garcia cried. Shame on you, Denise.
Toxic masculinity, Mike. Denise.
Mike. Grapple Geekery says, this was a great show full of great heel turns. Heel Monet is always better. I love the black hat Hangman. Mad was vicious and evil. It was good night to be bad, except for Jericho, who was shoot bad. Yeah, I agree with that. I second that. So let's go ahead and get into this, though, because Grapple Geekery did bring it up, as well as a couple of other people. And that is the return of Hangman Adam Page. So for the most part, I think we all pretty much knew it, especially last week when the EVPs basically said they were going to be bringing somebody in. I think at this point we were all able to tie the strings together here. And this match, the dynamics of this ended up being really weird, Kate, because it was Jeff Jarrett versus Hangman Page. And Jeff Jarrett ended up winning over a huge percentage of this crowd because of the touching promo that he did talking about Owen. And a lot of people kind of wanted to see Jeff Jarrett win. Of course, because we know that the winner of this tournament is getting a match at All In. I think that basically ruled out Jeff Jarrett. No offense, but I think we all knew that wasn't going to happen. But regardless, there was a moment where Jeff Jarrett locked in the sharpshooter on Hangman. And that crowd reaction, I thought, dude, if they were to just surprise us and have Jeff Jarrett defeat Hangman, I think the crowd would have definitely cheered. But what did you think of Hangman's return? He's got a new theme song. He looks very angry. And he's back, man. Of course, he gets the win and he's continuing on in the tournament and will be facing Jay White.
Yes. So I feel as though it was a very cool choice by AEW to include Jeff Jarrett in this because of the video package that we got that explained the relationship between Owen and Jeff Jarrett. I thought that was really, really beautifully done. I felt like it was done to set up him getting his ass kicked by Hangman Page tonight. Like Jeff Jarrett has not been a face and you want Hangman to come back. You're going to have to evoke some empathy on our part so that when Jeff Jarrett loses, we feel bad about that and we boo Hangman. This is where I was surprised we didn't get overwrought with CM Punk chance, by the way. I was very... We got swerve chance. And I loved that. I think that video package from AW about Owen and Jeff Jarrett was probably part of the reason why. If you just threw him out there and there was no emotional appeal, I think he would have been overrun with all sorts of stuff. New theme rules, Hangman back being rules. This match could have been a little shorter, in my opinion. I actually thought it was going to be really short and that Hangman was just going to squash him. But I guess if your audience is that emotionally invested, you should give them the joy of thinking that Jeff Jarrett might win this before it gets taken away. But I feel like we're probably setting up for Hangman and Danielson in the finals, and that absolutely rules. Both of them have a reason to get back to Wembley. Both of them have a reason to get to Swerve. Them meeting for the third time as completely different people and characters, I think would be fantastic. So love Hangman coming back here. Love what we get later from him too. New theme, new look, just aces all around. I would have just shortened this matchup a little bit, but that's nitpicking. So I'll take it.
So I was kind of sad because the Hangman Page theme song with the little dun dun dun, dun, dun the little horse and everything.
Not who he is anymore, though, you know?
That's my favorite AEW theme song. And it's gone excellent. Now.
But it's, my feelings were hurt. It's gone now, Denise. That version of Hangman doesn't exist anymore.
I know. I know all the reasons, guys. I wanted to cry, but you know what I did? I held it in and I kept going.
So you're going to need a therapist in a couple years because you don't can't just cry on camera. You can't just emote right when it's happening.
I can. No emotion, nothing.
That's it. That's Stonewalled.
By the way, that happened on my wedding day too. I told my husband, I was like, you better not cry. If you cry, I am going to turn the hell around and walk the other direction.
Denise!
I know. My aunt was like, you can't tell him that. And I was like, well, I did. I don't want him to cry.
He was overcome with love for you on your wedding day. You're like, I'm not marrying you.
No, you know, and I banned myself from crying too. Prior to walking out, when I was waiting in the little bridal room, I told myself, this is a performance. You walk out there. Like, I was trying to tell myself because I was starting to get in the feels, you know, like I was starting to feel like I was going to cry. And I told myself, nope, just pretend it's a show. And you walk out there and you don't cry. And I did not cry. He didn't cry either. So I was very happy about
it. You were like, chin up, tits out, watch for the shoe. You just really hold it together. Well, at least you're an equal opportunist in your rules.
Yes, I am. And what's worse was when I was reading my vows, my voice cracked, Kate. I was so mad at myself. Because I wanted to cry and my voice crashed. And I was like, hell no. I didn't want everyone to see me get emotional. It's embarrassing.
No, stop. It's beautiful.
It's embarrassing. All right, where were we at with all of this? Let's see. We got Magnum Wade here who says Denise just channeled her inner Tom Hanks. Ooh, what am I missing here? Which Tom Hanks? I know which Tom Hanks, but which movie are we talking about? Which movie are we referencing?
Yeah, I'm trying. Is there like a Stone Cold emotion, Tom Hanks, or is this in reference to something else? I don't know.
Okay, you're gonna have to fill that back out. Fill us in. All right, D here says crybabies get their butt kicks 1,000%. I agree. Thank you. I'm glad I'm not the only one here. Okay. All right. We got Tim McFowl here who says Heartless El Cedo bigger heel than MJF. Oh man, well-rounded Leo says issue was the way he was crying. Think I saw snot. Yeah, like I get it when you're disappointed and you're like, damn. But like full on, like, woo-hoo, that's a little too much for me.
Well, I'm fine with it, Danny Garcia. I hope that you are expressing your emotions as they come and that you feel your way through this. You're gonna hold the title someday soon, I promise.
We got John Taylor here who says the maximum way to disgust Denise is to fall down in front of her and proceed to cry. This is true. Oh my God, Kate, this is true. So that's my biggest turn off is seeing a guy fall. Yeah. And it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for me too, obviously, but it's a thing. It's a thing. Can't explain it. To be fair, I'm equal. I feel the same way if anybody cries. And the reason why I don't like seeing people cry in real life, because then it just makes me feel very awkward and I start to be like, they're there. I don't know. Like,
you don't know how to comfort them?
Yeah, I blame my upbringing. Honestly, I'm not the touchy, feely, emotionally type of person. And so when someone else gets emotion, I'm just like, I don't know what to do. Like the pressure.
I'm capping my emotions at a 6 today. We're just between a 4 and a 6 with how much you like or dislike something. I'm just gonna keep it in check. If I was moved today on the show, you were never gonna know.
No.
I wanna be invited back here. I'm not showing any emotion. We're just gonna.
Kate, if you started crying on this podcast right now, I would have been like, I wouldn't know what to do. I would, honest to God, just be like frozen.
That like, makes me want to try so hard just to see what you would do. I'm gonna sneak attack you in another 5 minutes.
Oh man, we got Sheldon Jackson here who says, ladies and gentlemen, you see this is a heel. Denise Salcedo crapping on a guy who broke down after the best match of his career with the best in the world today. Should have had the same energy for your girl. She doesn't cry in person. She doesn't cry, in the privacy of your own home. All right. We got Leonard Aarons III who says, stop your blood clot crying, D. Not nice, Salcedo to Daniel Garcia. Evil Hanger is back for Swerve. That's the only way he's in blood and guts. I do think Swerve needs to be blood and guts. I mean, after the visual that we got between his match with Hangman Page, where the whole blood thing and the bleh, I mean,
spitting blood into the air like they were Triple H with a water bottle. Yeah,
exactly.
If you're willing to make that risk with your world champion, which I would understand if you're not, I think you should, and I think you can because of the way that the violence is spread out in that match, for sure.
Can you imagine the moment when you finally get Hangman and Swerve across from each other in a blood and gut scenario? The crowd is definitely going to pop for that huge.
And you need it because there's no Eddie Kingston this year, partner. It's going to make me sad.
That's true. We got Ryan Sully here who says, hey, Denise and Kate, great to see you both back at it again. Curious to know your thoughts, but with Daniel Garcia getting stretchered out to end the show, does this mean this is the last time we see him for a while? Cheers. So earlier someone mentioned seeing him wrestle MJF at All Out. I feel like that would definitely be the way to kind of go. So I think when he comes back, he needs to be angry. Can I just say he needs to be mad? He needs to be going after this man, a full anger.
Then I will be, he shouldn't be crying at that point. I'll say that much. He needs to.
All right, he what take, if he starts crying? Then what if he, then what would you do? He walks out with a weapon. He's just like, MJF, you hurt me.
Then I would be like, kid, process your emotions and get out of this business. It's not made for you. But pissed off Danny Garcia coming back for MJF. I am in on 100%. I love that idea.
All right. We got Christopher Marino here who says, sorry, Denise, there is no way Bryan Danielson is winning the Owen. It's going to be Hangman. All right, Christopher Marino, remember this. Bookmark this. July 3rd, 8:02 p.m., just Pacific Standard Time. If this happens, I want my flowers.
You owe Denise flowers because I think Bryan Danielson is going to win the Owen. So you owe Denise flowers and then Denise is going to like pick one off for me.
Yes. Yeah. I'm going to blow it over. Send you a petal. But,
okay, I won't feel any feelings about it.
I was going to ask you, Kate, because I'm thinking Bryan goes all the way. I'm thinking Bryan wins the Owen. Bryan faces Swerve at All In. Bryan defeats Swerve at All In. That is the direction that I am. My heart is so set on that already. Like, you cannot change my mind anymore.
Man, I have Bryan Danielson winning the Owen for a couple of reasons. One, I feel like him winning that particular belt with what it means is like the most beautiful thing that you could put in a Bryan Danielson career at this chapter of his career. Him beating Swerve would be an incredible moment. And Wrestle Dream is in Tacoma. So if you wanted to throw it back at Swerve, you could have him lose it there. I also think if Swerve wins, that's the biggest win of his career. But I think there's a really fun story in Swerve not being able to overcome everybody except Danielson. This would be his second loss to Danielson. And then if he has to win it back for the title, I think that could be a really interesting direction to go. And we haven't really done one of those in AEW, like a little bit of a mini hot potato thing. So if you want in the final year months of Danielson's career to give him a brief title run, I think that's a really, really special way to do it and the most special moment that you could give him. If you want Swerve to continue this title reign, there's no bigger victory that you could give him than Bryan Danielson. I don't think it'll be Hangman because I think you can't Like, then Hangman is just like the most pick me girl with this whole situation. Move on, man. You got to think about someone else every once in a while. You can't always be, but I think the blood and guts moment will be huge. We're certainly not done with Swerve and Hangman, but I feel like Hangman's got to get tangled in some other stuff before we go back to revisiting him and Swerve.
Right. And that's part of the reason why I didn't want to see Hangman win the Selwyn and go on to face Swerve, because I'm like, we've seen that match 3 times already.
Exactly. Exactly.
I think a 4th time, it's almost like you're putting, I think at this point, Swerve in this bubble of like, okay, your only match and your only big feud is going to be against Hangman Page. No, we got all that we could get out of that. I'm sure they could do more if they wanted to, but we got it. It was good. Let's enjoy it. Now let's move on. And, you know, it's going to be a nice callback when, of course, if they're both in Blood and Guts, then that will be a great little moment. Great. We'll love that. But it doesn't have to be a match at All In.
Agreed. And also, Swerve has 2 wins over Hangman. So why are we going back to that again when Swerve has nothing to really prove against Hangman at this point?
There you go. We got Envy the Engineer, who says this segment was just bad. When Britt was by herself, it was fine. Once Monet came out, it wasn't good. She still does the robotic WWE promos instead of just being real. It's so engraved in her brain. Like, I do disagree with this, Envy the Engineer. Thank you so much for the super chat. But I really did feel that intensity between Britt and Mercedes. And it felt good. It felt good. I was like, yeah, like punch each other, pull some hair, get in a cat fight. I'm ready.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like this was I agree with the criticism overall. I think there has been some of that, but yes. I felt like tonight was a step in the right direction. And in general, like I feel like the slower she goes with promos, the better she is. Cause there's definitely some like, her biggest strength is charisma and in-ring and then promos, in my opinion. And that's not to say she's a bad promo. I think she's one of the most charismatic and best in-ring workers of all time. So I think her settling into these things is good, and her working heel is going to be great, because I feel like that's when she's most comfortable with this stuff.
Right. And also, that was the criticism of her the first couple of months that she's been in the company, because it is true. She has been coming off WWE-esque, and we know that. But in this particular confrontation with her and Britt, it worked. It was fine. We got Leonard Ahrens III here, who said Britt was excellent and she cut a deeply grounded babyface promo. The EVPs being behind Mercedes has me thinking they might give her some help as we move forward. This should be interesting, all told. Oh, definitely. I think that the way that they brought her into the arena today with the EVPs greeting her, I think that said a whole lot and sort of foreshadowed a lot of what we may be seeing coming down the line.
Yeah, my only complaint with that would be then you should have just turned her heel against Willow, because I think there would have been such a cool opportunity of you took my entire career from me when you injured me. I'm taking your title, and I'm also taking Chris Statlander and Stokely, and then have Chris as like a heavy. Would have been a really cool story if you were going to have her be a heel with some backup anyway. It feels like we had the perfect opportunity to tell that story immediately, but I'm not mad about that idea as an overall thought.
We got the J. Paul R.O. who says, huh? Kate's internet is flawless tonight. She got the Hollywood package today.
Man, they straightened out my internet. And then as soon as I was about to redo my studio, it rained and there was a huge leak in my ceiling. So I'm just never going to have a proper studio. I've accepted it about myself. It's just a hilarious rib on me at this point. So I've accepted it.
Oh, no. We got Vasco here who says women's division is cooking, hoping for Hater return. Yeah, dude, me too. I think the second she comes in, she has a huge fan base and people really like her. So the second she does come in, it's going to be a really good reaction for sure. We got the dead man of RWT, Paul Morales, who says, is this trade official? You send Reg over to FF and you, what's FF? And you get Kate. Oh, Fightful. I was like, what's FF? You send Reg over to Fightful and you get Kate plus cash considerations. Love seeing ladies night. Heel MJF is effing baby. Let's effing go. That's hilarious. Hilarious.
If you're going to cash considerations, I would like a cup, but we can talk about that offline.
Yes, we definitely can. Thank you so much to Paul for sending that in. We got Speed Punk here who says, Denise, who says, do you need a new friend? Seen a spider bigger than my hand when I was taking the trash out to the cans in front of my...
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Garage. Wait, are you offering your friendship or the spider as friendship?
Yeah, I'm
confused. I'm also terrified speed of spiders.
Punk. I just went Speed Punk Bike Bailey in my head. Like, I just auto-completed the name on the chat. But yeah, I would find out the details before you give your friendship away on that one, because spiders are gross. Let's get that.
We got Jared here who says, I sent in a super chat to Fightful on Monday about AEW women's division being crap. Yeah, I remember that. He said, then I caught up with AEW and I'm happy I was proved wrong about damn time. I love that, man. That was part because for a very long time, they did not do a huge emphasis on their women's division. And there's no denying that. But of course, now that's in the past. And we mentioned earlier, we got so many programs right now with the women. You mentioned Thunder and Deonna, Tony and Mariah and Mina. And you just came off of Willow and Mercedes, and now Mercedes and Britt and
Serena and the Outcasts. Like, even the ones that aren't front and center stories, there's all these, the talent rotation has been so improved within those layered stories as well. Love to see that.
We got Matt Logan here who says, Kate, I'm so used to seeing you next to Alex, who can't wait to talk about the Jericho segment.
I am normally next to a very sour man, but I share in his sourness for this latest Jericho run. It is not my bag.
Yeah, I feel you on this. We might as well get into it now that Matt Logan set us up for it. There's kind of a bit here, so I'm just going to highlight what we went down. Taz, he calls Taz and Mark, wants him escorted out. He gets help from the EVPs because Jericho is going to be doing commentary. We get a match between Samoa Joe, Hook, and Katsuyori Shibata, defeating Brian Cage, Bishop Khan, and Toa Leona. And this then ended with a post-match attack. The Learning Tree attacked all these guys, took them out, and brutally attacked Hook afterwards, put him through a table. Afterwards, he's being checked in the back. And when he's being checked, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they decide to throw a fireball in his face. And now he's got a fireball in his face. And that's that. Kate, what'd you think of all this?
I don't like when Jericho overstays his welcome on angles, either satirically or sincerely. What are we still fighting about? This has nothing to do with the FTW title anymore, which is where this all started. I'm very, very sick of this. And it wasn't for me to begin with. And now that it felt like Hook was moving on to bigger and better things, it felt like the Samoa Joe and Hook relationship was really cool. The trio with Shibata-san works somehow. I don't know how, but it works for me. Like, it's such a funny trio. Kind of like how best friends were like, you guys don't make sense, but you make perfect sense.
The odd couple pairing. Yeah,
it kind of works for me. I'm ready for them to move on. Like, Hook is a young star and he needs to be treated like that. This kind of crap is exhausting it. And it's just what they're doing, like, as a joke isn't funny because it's real. Like, let the kid move on here. Not a fan of this at all. And I don't think it's different enough from like the Jericho Appreciation Society and other iterations of him for it to feel like he reinvented himself again. Like,
now the Jericho calling each other trees and apples and redwoods and that's it.
Yeah,
that's
the only thing that I liked with this was when Jericho said, that doesn't work for me, brother. I did laugh out loud at that.
That's because everybody laughs at that. It doesn't work for me, brother. It was a running joke now, bro. It's a running joke. It's what we do. We got Crazy101 who says, Hangman will join Blood and Guts when Swerve joins Team AEW. Let's go. I hope you are right. Jared says, Denise promoting toxic masculinity.
She is. Feel your feelings, fellas. Don't listen to Denise.
Alejandro Reyes says, Reg will stand up for Mama Wayne being named a dino. Yeah, for reals. For real. Magnum Wade says a league of their own. There's no crying in baseball. And I'm the only 90s kid here. Hey, man, no crying in wrestling either.
No, I understood that reference, as the old gift goes.
Alejandro Reyes says, also, Kate, do you agree with feeling juicy?
Do I agree with feeling juicy?
I am terribly embarrassed to have to explain the backstory to this to you, Kate.
This one I don't know. I try and catch up on your content, but this one I am not as...
Alejandro, you set me up here.
Were you feeling juicy or was Reg? I need to know. I'll just take your side with whatever you tell me.
Oh, man, I don't even want to explain this. Long story short, I said that instead of saying the H word when you're like in the mood, you know, the H word when you're in the mood. Okay, instead of saying the H word, I say juicy because I think juicy sounds nicer.
It does sound nicer.
Thank you.
No, I'm with you on that.
No. Oh, thank you. Everybody said I was crazy, Kate.
No. I'm with you. The H word is like...
It's unladylike.
It's gross. No.
Right. It makes me feel awful.
Juicy is like sexy. I like it.
Right. It's cute.
It's cute. It's playful. Thank you. 100%.
Thank
you. I do agree. Yes, Alejandro, to answer your question, thank you for sending it in because we're talking about the important things tonight. I do agree with that.
Thank you.
Notice how she won't cry, but she will tell you when she's feeling juicy.
That's
where Denise's emotional spectrum is.
Travis Schultz says Denise will never need an emotional support animal.
She will more than ever. It's just going to catch up with her in like 20 years.
Nope. I know. That's what I fear. I fear one day I'm just going to break and I'm just going to cry about everything.
No, you're aware enough of it that won't be the case. But not crying on your wedding day. That was, tell your husband not to. That was dirty work from you.
No. And he did it. And you know what? I was very proud and made me appreciate him more. I was like, yes. Your team, Denise. Like,
it turns out it is my day. Thank you very much.
Yes. I would have been embarrassed. I would have been so embarrassed. I would have been like, stop it. Stop it right now. Do it at home.
Save it for later. Save it for later when we're feeling juicy.
No, because then I won't be juicy
You'll
anymore.
You'll never be juicy again. No.
I'd be like, no, I'm not into that. I'm not into baby talk. Don't do none of that. I'm not into any of that. I don't even like to be called like pet names. Like I have one pet name. I'm not going to share it on here, but I would die if like in public he was like, hey, babe. I'd be like, don't you babe me? Or hey, honey, don't you honey me?
I'm okay with the standards, but if you get into like Pookie or like no.
Oh hell no. I would die if someone called me Pookie.
Yeah, I'd barf. I'd barf right in their face. No thanks.
Oh man, I can't. All right. Sheldon Jackson says, so the next time Taylor Swift is crying, you better keep that same energy and not be disgusted with it as well. And you better not cry either. Hey man, I said what I said. Leonard Aarons the third says next week Nigel fills in for Taz. Ref bump. Nigel costs Danielson the match. Hanger wins, gets his first title match since May 2022 against Swerve. What do you think about this?
I think as much as I love Nigel McGuinness, we need to stop fantasy booking him returning to wrestling. But I think there's a way more fun thing here if Danielson wins and like we get Swerve and Nigel talking a bunch of shit about Danielson, I think it would be really, really, really,
I feel
really
you
fun.
On that. I feel you on that. I feel like a lot of people want this to like, there's a group of people that definitely want to see Nigel and Brian. I'm not one of them because I feel like that's just already in the past. There are some things that don't need to be redone. Like, let's just leave it what it was. And so I'm not really that person. I think there's other things I would rather see instead. A la Brian versus Swerve.
I am one of those people, but he has said that he's ending his full-time career. There are things that you can do as attraction matches in your part-time career, and Nigel versus Danielson is one of them. ZSJ3 with him is probably one of them. Like, they don't need to be a part of the full-time active AEW run. Those can be special attraction matches down the line.
We got Jimmy Jimenez who says, where does Double J go from here? Also, who's more likely to be the fifth member? A free agent? Definitely not Cole. MJF, my first front row acclaimed better not be in Blood and Guts. A lot of people don't want the acclaimed. But again, Is it the Acclaimed? Would you guys be okay with the Acclaimed as long as Billy Gunn's not in it? I think this is just a Billy Gunn thing. Is it? Or
no,
is it
the entire I don't group? Want any of it. I feel like
the entire group, Kate.
Yeah, at least 2/3 of them. Like, I think Bowens is great, but Max Caster to me is like a mic drop and a bad rap at this point. Like, I've not seen enough from him in ring that makes me feel compelled to see him in a match like this. When you have people entering the company, that would be great on the babyface side. Probably there's, I think, better options there. Dijak was kicking around backstage. I'd like to see that guy in a blood and guts match. Ricochet in a blood and guts match is an insane idea. I have no desire to see Billy Gunn. I have no desire to see Max Caster. I have limited desire to see Anthony Bowens. Just because I think Bowen's wheelhouse is not this type of match, but I think he's phenomenal in the ring.
Wow. So just based off of everybody's comments here, they really need to start working on getting the Acclaimed back together in terms of not back together as a group, but back together as an act in terms of they were one of the hottest acts for a long time in AEW. They're so far from that and they need to get back to that.
I am team Anthony Bowen singles run 100%. I feel like Anthony Bowens and the C2 could be a phenomenal thing that we get to see. I am tapped out on Max Caster. I don't know what you do with him, but him turning heel on Anthony Bowens is probably your best chance of salvaging that for me. Because somebody that comes out like with homophobic and sexist raps as a babyface, I have no interest in. Sorry. Like, not, and he's not that good in the ring to me. So, I'm very, very over it. And they do need to do something creatively, but they get huge reactions whenever they come out. So I always feel like me and the internet feel that way a lot of the times, but then live, they get these monster pops. So who am I to say?
It's always different internet and live in person. It's same totally time. Different situations. Yeah. Leonard Aaron III says, oh, Adam Cole was proven to be right after all.
I miss Adam Cole. I feel like MJF and Adam Cole are both meant to be heels. And I think there's probably still ways to go before Adam can come back full time. So I want them both working heels away from each other full time. But it does, both of them were kind of right, which makes that angle pay off more than people will give it credit to. I'll say that.
We got Grapple Geekery here who says the Learning Tree has serious WCW and WO Hogan vibes. The Learning Tree, man, ain't fun. We got Ryan Sully here who says, Denise, Kate, Hook deserves better. Is it bad that I really do think he would thrive a lot better in NXT? Cheers. I was kind of hoping that the stuff with Samoa Joe and Hangman Page would kind of make things a little bit better, you know?
Yeah, I think...
I don't know why I said Hangman Page. I'm in Samoa Joe and Shibata.
I think it could if they would let them move on from this angle. Like, I love the relationship between Joe and Hook. They're talking about chopped cheese and cheap apartments and all sorts of stuff. Like, I think there's a really fun connection there because Samoa Joe is such a natural. And I do admittedly have an interest in seeing Samoa Joe beat that for living crap out of Chris Jericho. Like, that would pop me tremendously. But they just need to let this kid move on, I feel like. I don't know if NXT is the place for him because it's such a character-heavy and wacky environment. But he is better than what he's been given. I'll put it that way.
We got Toby Schwashbauer who says, is it still a heel turn if I don't care about Garcia? Maybe I'm wrong, but I think all of us like MJF a lot more than Daniel Garcia. Wow. I mean, I kind of agree with this.
I don't agree with it, but I don't have a problem with men crying. So maybe that's different, but I feel like...
Emphasis on anybody crying, by the way. Not just men, anybody crying. I'll feel very awkward. Don't cry in front of me. It just makes me awkward.
You go there.
There now. Everything will be okay.
I think they need a payoff for Garcia sooner than later because he's gotten tremendously over by losing. He lost to the C2. He worked his way to a TBS title shot and lost. He worked his way to an international title shot with some wins and lost. So, like, he's got to win the big one sooner than later, and I think people will be on his side a little bit more than that. But MJF is a bad, bad man. Shame on you, people.
Taylor Cannon says, I'd rather not see the Acclaimed in blood and guts. Please and thank you. Man, I thought it was everybody likes the Acclaimed.
No, a lot of people are out on the Acclaimed should be the new rap.
The J. Paul R.O. says, Denise is your hubby, a Mandy Lone. No, I like very, like, how do I explain it? I like masculine men, you know? It kind of jives my boat. It jives my boat.
There you go. It makes you juicy.
Moving on. Alejandro Reyes
Vegas says Lucha Brothers are right there for Team AEW. Amen to this. Amen to that. Yep. I like that. You got Toei Shaw's bra right here who says Jeff Jarrett's segment was sad too. I know AEW takes Hangman way more serious, but in wrestling, when you get the chance to make fans feel, you do it. And he did just that. He really did. That's why they reacted that way when he locked in the sharpshooter.
Yes, I think that they did a tremendous job of building up empathy, and that the job as the heel is to make you mad that they beat them.
Yeah,
I think seriously. They were wildly successful in accomplishing a fundamental. Jeff Jarrett is not going to Wembley, though, so don't waste a tournament round on him.
So we only have like two more things to talk about. The only thing that we didn't get to talk about was the women's Owen Hart tournament. And we saw Chris Statlander versus Willow Nightingale. And I really didn't know which direction they were going to go in with this one, Kate. I think that it was pretty 50-50. You could make a good case for both of them. Of course, Willow has won in the past before. And she is moving on in this tournament. And she will face either Sheeta or Mariah May. My prediction is Mariah May, Willow, with Mariah May winning the entire thing. Do you agree, disagree? What do you got?
I agree with that. I think there's something really interesting that in order to get to this point, Mariah May will have had to have beaten all of Toni Storm's kind of previous challengers. That's just like an interesting story to tell of like, I am actually on your level. I beat all the people you beat in defenses is kind of an interesting way to go. I thought they were going to go with Chris on this one because I feel like Willow getting her comeuppance on Chris after Chris advances in the tournament that she won last year is just a little bit more interesting of a story to me, but this does leave the window open for Chris to cost Willow. I just don't like it when there's interference angles in tournaments. That's just like a personal preference of mine, is like, let the tournaments be the tournaments, but I'm sure Chris is going to do something to get her vengeance on Willow, and the comeuppance will come outside of the tournament. I also, for whatever reason, I'm just like, give me, probably because Tony or Mariah May is such a hard-hitting son of a bitch, but she and Chris, I feel like could have a really fun match. I'm sure her and Willow will too, but that was just, my ears perked up a little bit more at the idea of Chris and Mariah May. I don't think there was a wrong call here. It just depends on how they play out the rest of the thing, but I feel like Mariah May beating Toni Storm at Wembley is kind of like the crowning achievement, and maybe a returning Jamie Hayter comes out after that, because that would set Wembley on fire in a metaphorical sense.
It definitely would. It definitely would. Sheldon says, Denise, you keep throwing your husband under the bus. Did you learn nothing from Scotland after your tumble? You know karma about to come get you again, right? Oh, man. So, Kate, I believe in nothing more than karma. And let me tell you, karma works. Every time something bad happens to me, I know exactly what caused it for that bad thing to happen to me.
Well, Denise, for me, karma is a relaxing thought.
Yeah, see, I'm not there. I'm not there right now. I'm not there right now.
I'm not a Swiftie, but I was very proud of myself for that reference. I'm not going to lie.
I was very proud of you, too. We got Alejandro Reyes who says, plus their originals, rivals to Young Bucks and Healthy. Yeah, of course. And I think the people really love the Lucha Bros. I mean, they're freaking awesome.
Yeah, I could not agree more. I would much rather see that.
I love it. All right. Thank you so much to Alejandro Reyes. Alrighty, everybody. I think that is our show. We basically got it all. Before we wrap things up, I want to go ahead and let you guys know that I'm bringing back the giveaway. I did this last couple months ago and it went really well, so I decided to do it again. If you guys head on over to Apple Podcasts and go to the podcast page, Instinct Culture by Denise Salcedo, if you leave a review, you will automatically be entered for a chance to win to get to watch AEW All In for free. We're going to be doing a live raffle on the air like we did last time, and that is going to be happening on July 10th. So get on there now, because it takes a while for your review to actually appear. So get in there, leave a review, and also make sure you guys put like your Twitter handle or your Instagram handle so that I can find you and I won't be like, oh my God, who is this? The link is in the description box below, or you can just head on over to Apple Podcasts, click that follow button, and search Instinct Culture by Denise Salcedo. Also, before I go, in case you haven't seen, every single day here on the channel, I am posting a SummerSlam review video. So from July 1st through July
31st, I am posting a review video, a recap video of each and every single SummerSlam. Three videos have gone up already and more to come. So check those out. Give those some love. There are a lot of work. Kate, what do you got going on?
You can follow me at Miss Kate Fave. I uploaded a whole bunch of Forbidden Door content at my YouTube channel, so you can head over there and check that out. I got to ask Mercedes and ZSJ questions, like my two faves right now in the world, so that was very exciting and fun for me. You can also find me at Miss Kate Fave on all social media and at Fightful pretty much every night of the week doing stuff. But normally on Wednesdays, I'm at the Mark Order podcast. You can check me out over there. We have a lot of fun talking all things All Elite, so follow me there.
Perfect. Alrighty, guys. If you enjoyed the show, please let us know. This Friday, I will be back with Robin. Saturday, I will be here for Money in the Bank. I think Reg will be on the show. I'm not entirely too sure. We'll check back on that. And then on Sunday, I will be here to talk NXT Heatwave with Chinadu. So it is going to be a stacked and loaded week of content. Make sure you guys subscribe. I'll catch you guys on that. Oh, we got one more super chat. This one's from Ryan Sully. So glad I made it to see it. Ryan says, before you end, Denise, I again want to weigh your Blue Chew, your Blue Chew ads before SummerSlam reviews make me die of laughter. He cheers. So if anything, so what I'm doing for every single, because Blue Chew sponsoring the whole entire series that I'm doing for SummerSlam Rewinds, and every single episode, I'm doing a original Blue Chew read. And so I'd be coming up with some of the dumbest stuff and just putting it out there.
But it's my favorite segue to throw to during final shows. I do it all. I forget what I had this week. I think we were talking about a match only going 6 minutes and getting in and out. And I was like, this is perfect. Thank you for the perfect segue. Got everybody feeling juicy in our chat.
Oh my God. Ryan, thank you so much for checking those out. I appreciate that. I appreciate the support on all of that. Everybody have a great and happy 4th of July tomorrow. Thank you guys so much. Do not forget to subscribe. We'll catch you guys on the next one. Bye, everyone.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.